B-Pod Studios.
It's indeed a pleasure to have on the air with us a guy who's part of television history on one of the most successful television comedies of all time. Max Baer's on the phone. Hi, Max.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
I got to ask you something. It seems to me that I remember a few years back, or maybe even longer than it, you at one point in your life really tried to disassociate yourself from the Beverly Hillbillies.
Completely.
And that whole thing. I mean, even for the reunion stuff that came back on network, you didn't want anything
to do it. I wouldn't do it.
Where's the change of heart? Strictly money, or are you finally realizing, hey, I was part of one hell of a TV show?
What happened was is that when the show ended in 71, I was so cast as Jethro that I couldn't do anything. So I wrote a picture called Macon County Line. I made the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I made it for $110,000, and it earned $25 million.
Classic film.
And then I did Ode to Billy Joe from the Bobby Gentry song. We shot it in Greenwood, Mississippi. And I was the first one to take a song title and turn it into a movie. And then after that, they did Harper Valley PTA, The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia, Girls Want to Have Fun, Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
Well, what I tried to do was to stay away from the image of Jethro as best I possibly could to see if I could outlive it insofar as that as I got older, that maybe people in the movie business would be able to see me and view me in a different light as not being a, you know, an ingenue type, not playing a kid, but being a man. But I was hoping that maybe something like that might possibly happen to me. It did not.
So have you come to terms with this? I mean, a lot of actors, especially those that were typecast in the 50s and the 60s, and even the 70s for that matter, really rebelled from that and not wanting to be typecast. But, you know, as the years passed, learned to embrace that as being something, a part of Americana.
Well, I didn't want to utilize it just as Jethro. I mean, you can go to autograph signings and all that stuff and play Jethro. I wasn't interested in that. But what happened is that I have a home at Lake Tahoe as well as Beverly Hills and here in Las Vegas, where we're talking now.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is that I was at the Ponderosa Ranch on the north shore of Lake Tahoe, where they shot some episodes of Bonanza. And the fellow that owns the place used it as kind of a tourist attraction. So people would come there, they'd have hay rides, and they have a wedding chapel and some things like that. And I'd never been in there, and as long as I'd been up at the lake. And finally, one day, I stopped in, and I said, you know, it was cute. I mean, they had like I said, they had, I think, the front room of the Bonanza set, and they had some pictures of the characters up there. And I thought, well, my gosh, if this is doing this well and people will pay money to get in here, I wonder if I could get the rights to the Beverly Hillbillies, and I could buy this little joint that was for sale up at Lake Tahoe, and I could get the rights in about 6 months and have no problem, mm-hmm. and open up my own little Beverly Hillbilly casino up here where I want to live anyway. And we also have all of these other toys and tricks that if people come to Reno, their friends will say, hey, where is there to go? Hey, why don't we go over to the mansion?
Yeah.
And that's really what I want them to say. Let's go to the mansion. Let's go to Jethro's, or let's go to the Beverly Hillbilly mansion.
Sure. You are probably one of those actors who was on such a... that was on probably, well, you know, on those 60s sitcoms. You don't get a dime from that show, do you?
Well, I think that, I think our residuals ended at the end of 10 reruns or 15 reruns. I don't know. And then I think there is a minimum that you get paid off every one. And I think it's only like $35 or something, but I'm not sure.
I mean,
but hey, look, if it weren't for the Beverly Hillbillies, I wouldn't have met Buddy Ebsen. I wouldn't have had the good times that I had for 9 years on the show. Wouldn't have met Donna or Irene or Ray Bailey or Nancy Culp. I wouldn't have had an association with Paul Henning, who created the show, who was a doll. And I learned everything about the business and got paid for it at the same time. And that's something I wouldn't have been able to direct or produce or make movies myself. I wouldn't have been able to do what I'm trying to do now if it hadn't been for the Beverly Hillbillies. So basically, I really have Paul Henning and Jethro to thank for everything that's ever happened to me in my life other than being born.
So you're living in Vegas now?
Well, I commute back to from my home in Beverly Hills to Lake Tahoe and to Las Vegas.
Those are the
three places I go.
How do you like the desert?
I love the desert. Always like the desert.
How do you like
it too, man?
Yeah.
I love the desert air.
I mean, sometimes the pollen gets me here, but only for a short period of time.
You see, we're planning to go back out to Vegas. Haney and I like to pop out into Vegas and do a little gambling every now and again. And we're planning to go out there in July. How bad is when Las Vegas is 112 degrees? How bad is it?
It's not. Well, I live here, so
right.
I can tell you it's not bad.
Because I'll tell you,
in other words, first of all, it's only 100. It's only the hottest at maybe 4 hours or 5 hours a day. And most of those times you're inside or you're in the pool.
Sure.
And the nice times are early in the morning, it's nice. And in the evenings, if you can sit out, it's 80 degrees outside. It's no worse than Florida, except you don't have the humidity.
Yeah, that's what we love.
Basically the same as Florida, not the same time of the year,
right?
But it's the humidity.
We don't have
many bugs though. You're in Fort Myers, Florida.
That's right.
Whereabouts is that located?
We're on the west coast of Florida, just a little south of Sarasota.
You're on the okay.
We're like the last bit of. Quote-unquote civilization before you hit the Everglades.
Really?
Yeah, we're the last oasis before you go down Alligator Alley. So now
you're on the Gulf.
Yes.
Fort Myers, there's something else that I know about Fort Myers. I'm trying to remember what it is.
Thomas Edison lived here.
Nah, there's some girl that I dated that lived there, or there's a friend of mine that lived there or something.
Oh,
but I'm
really?
Going blank. I think I'm getting Alzheimer's at my age.
Did you ever at any point in your life, and I know your dad passed away when you were still relatively young.
He passed away when I was 21.
Did you ever think that you wanted to follow in his footsteps and become a fighter?
I thought you were going to say and die. No, I didn't.
No. Everybody dies.
Right. I know that.
But did you ever, you know, staying in shape like you do, did you ever want to become a fighter?
Well, I boxed in college, and I was not very good. I could hit like hell. I guess that I got from him, too. But I had no endurance. I don't know why. I never have had any endurance. That's why I never could play basketball. Of course, I was a bad basketball player, too. But I tried to get, you know, endurance by running and stuff, and I just didn't have endurance. My father was fortunate that he got out of boxing when he did because he could take a hell of a shot. And after a while, that's what happened to Ali. Floyd Patterson told me something one time. He says that the thing that made Ali as great as he was fear of getting hit. When he was young, he was so afraid of getting hit, messing up his face, that he would train so hard that he could box and dance for 15 rounds, and the only time you could ever hit him is when you shook hands. You never touched him.
What?
And that was the thing about him, was fear. Well, what happened is that after Ali started getting hit and found out that his fear of getting hit was worse than actually the getting hit, he figured he could beat a lot of these guys without working as hard as he did, and he got hit more often.
That's right.
When you were a kid growing up, having a tough guy dad like that everybody knew who he was and everything, was that a good thing or a bad thing for you?
I got picked on.
Did you really?
Sure.
You know, everyone probably wanted to challenge a little Max Baer to a fight.
You got it.
You know,
and I was basically a coward. I mean, I used to hide from a guy, and I'd go home the wrong way, and everything else, go way out of my way to avoid him. And until finally, I think it was basically the same thing that Ali had. I was so afraid of getting hurt, and then finally, when I got in a fight one time, actually the guy hit me about 8 or 10 times, and I knocked me down and started kicking me, and then all of a sudden I'm curled up in a ball, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, this doesn't hurt as much as I thought. Why don't I do something? What
yeah.
am I just staying here for?
And as big as you are, you could have killed him.
Well, I got up, and I got up, and I was bleeding pretty badly, and then the guys, there was a whole bunch of guys. It was at night, and it was on a place called C Street in Sacramento, and I got in my car and drove away, and when I did, I ran into a couple of friends of mine, Marty and Ron Herman, and they were coming back to the party, and I said, hey, come on back with me, you guys. I said, what do you want? And they said, you're bleeding. I said, yeah, I just got whacked around. I went back there, and I looked around for this guy, and there were four of them. But there were four guys that were hitting me, but there were six guys that were together. And I just waited, and Ron and Marty Herman were big guys. I mean, they were really big. And I just waited there, and the guys came out, and I just told them, I said, hey, you know, now you don't have anybody else. And I fought all four guys.
And kicked their ass.
I whacked them around pretty good, one at a time. But the point being is that I was cut pretty badly, and I needed stitches afterwards. But the point is that I was basically a coward, and I only did it because of the fact that, you know, I think that your reputation actually goes further, that if you do it one time, you don't have to do it. So I really didn't. I was not a guy that got in a bunch of fights.
Well,
I was only in that fight and one other one in my whole time in Sacramento. I never got in fights. I avoided them. And the other one, actually, I was only in it as a participant with some friends, that I was part of a group of guys who were fighting another group of guys at the drive-in. And that was the only other time. Otherwise, I never really had any problems, because I think if you know the other guy will fight, you kind of leave him alone unless you really have some real reason. And I didn't give anybody a reason to not like me. I was not going out of my way to to cause problems.
What was your dad's advice to you when you were getting picked on?
Well, he used to tell me, you know, stand up for what you believe in, and hey, if you get beat, you get beat. Everybody gets beat.
From what I've read, from what my father mm-hmm. always told me, because he was around in the days that mm-hmm. your dad was fighting, he said because your dad had such a wonderful personality and always, I mean, he was the charmer of his day. He was almost like the Ali of his day.
He would have been the white Muhammad Ali, except in a different form, because the same type of personality, except my dad was a puncher and not a...
That's
basically
right.
Basically, the same attitudes, the same components, the same big mouth, liked to talk, but was charming at the same time.
And then what I always read and what my old man always told me is he says, your dad probably could have been one of the greatest heavyweights if he went and concentrated and trained like the devil to go and be a fighter, but he was a personality.
Well, what he really did, and a lot of people have talked about my father, and what he did is that he had all the ability in the world.
That's right.
He just didn't utilize it.
That's right, and could have been one of the greatest.
He could box a little bit. He could really punch. He had great punches. He could take it. He could go the distance. He had endurance. In other words, he naturally was good. He was not a boxer, but he was naturally good. He had the physical abilities, just the genes, as you want to call
mm-hmm.
it, to be good. But the thing about it is that, and I can say this proudly, is that I was very fortunate to have great parents, my mother, Mary Bear, and my dad. I love them both so much. And the only thing that I regret is that I'm not able to share my success with both of them.
Max, we are completely out of time. I want to thank you so much for coming on and spending some time with us.
Well, thank you very much for asking me, and I hope, what I'll do is that when this place opens, you'll get an invite.
All
Maybe
right.
I'll get to meet you in person.
All right. Can you give me one quick Jethro hee-ha?
The only thing I can do is hot dog.
Max, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. God bless and have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, Stan and Haney, all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show is so damn good, it makes the Pope wanna sin. Go fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Was once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
Somewhere in southwest Florida, an ancient evil stirs. Then Stan and Haney stepped on it. You're welcome. And remember, kids, evil is for pussies. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thursday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. There, right over there, my buddy Mark Haney. As we've got today and tomorrow, and then we're going to be taking a few days off.
Oh, yes.
But that doesn't mean you're not going to get a top quality, to the Stan and Haney level, show today to get it out of you.
For today, yeah. And I think tomorrow we'll probably mess around.
Yeah, maybe.
Phone it in tomorrow? What do you say?
Yeah. You know what?
I'll tell you what. I love those opening bits.
What?
Like what you just played with Max Baer.
I figured we'd have Max on because yesterday you were talking about the Beverly Hills Hillbillies mansion going up for sale, and it's the most expensive piece of property in the world.
Yes. But
and
you
I,
know.
I said, man, we've dealt with Max Baer before.
You know, and I know. But I don't know how many other people know. Doing this show is like playing cornerback in the NFL. Your last play, you could have gotten burned for a touchdown or it could have been an interception, but you have to put it completely out of your mind so that you're ready for the next play.
Yeah.
And we don't do a lot of reflection. And so when we hear these bits back...
Yeah, I forget about them.
It's like we're hearing them for the first time because we were participating in them. Very interesting stuff.
Here's the thing about Max Baer. And those of you, and you heard us talking about, his father was former heavyweight champion Max Baer Sr. And that interview that you just heard was from about 21 years ago. And Cinderella Man, the Russell Crowe vehicle, where he played James Braddock winning the title, the Ron Howard vehicle, came out in 2005. And it was Max Baer himself who wanted to come on our show because he was livid about that movie because it portrayed his father as the bad guy, and watched it on film and said, and I said the same thing when I saw it, this is nothing like the real Max Baer was. He was the clown prince of boxing. He was a happy-go-lucky guy who could hurt you bad.
Yeah.
And he wanted to come on and just lay into Ron Howard and the people that put that film together, because not once did they ever ask him about his dad. And they portrayed him in such a dark light in
to
the
make
film.
To make their story work.
To make their story work, that he was livid. You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Let me ask, call upon your boxing knowledge.
What?
When did Riddick Bowe fight Evander Holyfield?
Early 90s. They had three fights.
When was the first one?
I want to say 1992, 91, 92.
Because I remember there was a time going back to the ancient days when Joe was with us. All three of us, and including Harry the Bulgarian, we would all come in wearing Bo Holyfield shirts for a good 5 years.
Yeah,
we would wear Bo Holyfield.
Three fights. Three great fights. I think it was the second fight had Fan Man come flying down into the ring. You know, one of them hand gliders, and he landed right in the middle of the ring.
But we wore those T-shirts forever.
Mm-hmm.
Bo Holyfield.
Yep.
Everywhere we went.
I might even still have mine. I know I got the cap, too, for that one. Oh, is that Fan Man? There he is.
Yes.
Right there. Yeah, he came flying into the ring and then got tangled up in the ropes. And then every let's just say, crooked-nosed person involved in the fight game beat the living crud out of them.
Security guards to private security to deputy sheriffs to...
friends.
To passers-by. Yep. They all got a piece of him.
I'm going to tell you why we had all that stuff, Haney. There was a, as far as within the last 30 years, there was a golden era of heavyweight boxing. You had your Bo and your Holyfield, George Foreman coming back. You had all these guys around, and we were doing with the cable company. It was long before they called themselves Xfinity. We would promote the pay-per-views. And they would send us a bunch of stuff, and a lot of times we would send people out to Vegas to go see the fights. And that's how we got all that swag.
Man, there is something, you know, boxing always has its ups and downs, and every time, oh, this is it for boxing. But there is something about the fight game beyond the ring. Just the culture and the people that it draws.
Yep.
And it was so much fun when we used to get you on with Bert Sugar, who claims you assaulted him.
Well, I did square off with him. Late, great Bert Sugar.
And then you set it up where I got to go to a Vegas fight with you.
Yeah, we saw De La Hoya and Macho Camacho. I was the guest of the Nevada State Athletic Commission to go, because I was an inspector in Florida, and they wanted us to go to see how the fights were run out there.
And it is so...
And you came along.
And it is so surreal. If you've never been to a big fight, because I remember the thought that went through my head, because we got there, and I'm looking around at this big arena. This was at Thomas and Mack.
Yep.
And the air of excitement, you know, some people had a lot riding on the fight. Now, that's one thing. And then as you get closer and closer to the main event, you can keep facing forward looking at the ring. You will instinctively know. It's a herd instinct. When you see everybody around you, their head turns. Oh, there's Mike Tyson. There's Magic Johnson. Yep. There's this. There's that.
All the celebrities are coming in. The women are dressed in evening gowns.
And I don't think it was probably too loud for me to even say anything at that point to you. But I remember my thought, and I thought, this is like being in an effing Rocky movie.
It is.
It looks exactly like the footage that you see of pre-fight.
Michael Buffer down there. Here's a little tip for you about when you see these big fights on pay-per-view. Three quick things, then we got to take a break. But you see it, and it's the spectacle, and they got the lights going in. Michael Buffer, yeah, let's get ready to rumble. The place stays virtually empty through the undercard.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are in the casinos gambling.
Or putting down some last-minute action.
And Michael Buffer does not do the ring announcing until the pay-per-view is on. They tell the other guy, sit down, your day's done,
yeah,
let's
you,
bring Buffer up.
You work for a living, you've done all these fights, now take a seat and here comes Buffer.
Second of all... Most of the money, at least it did in the 90s for the Riddick Bowes and the Holyfields and the De La Hoyas, most of the money, you say, how can they go and pay a guy like $13, $14, $50 million a fight? Most of the money comes from Asia, Hong Kong, Japan, Taiwan. And when you're watching the fight, you're seeing the celebrities in the crowd. Well, Haney and I saw it firsthand, and Mark Ratner, who was the boxing director then, I asked him about it. He said, take a look, three sides, basically for the high rollers, celebrities, and all that. One whole side of ringside, going back 20, 30 seats, all Asians,
mm-hmm.
with their cameras clicking away. No joke. Every one of them Asians. And he said, do you know why this is? They're the ones that put the money up for the fight. They're the ones that the promoters go to get financing for these big extravaganzas.
Well, that's a long time ago now. Do they put fights on in Macau? Because Macau was nothing then.
Sure they do. Yeah.
So did they take their money and stay home?
Wrestling's big over there, too. But
I wonder if they even come to Vegas anymore.
Whole section. And it was the money people for the fights.
Because the casino business, that's where they're making all their money now, is Macau.
And it is. It's a sight to behold. And they happen. You're watching the main event here, coming in 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. No, it's only like that 8, 9 o'clock.
That was the awesome thing, because we were thinking about that when we're watching this prize fight. You know, everybody back home watching the fight, oh, yeah, it's like midnight, 1 o'clock. We get out and we're like, okay, night's just beginning, gents.
We had our tickets to go to the Flamingo for Wayne Newton.
Yep.
And you go after it because fights end early out there so they can go back out gambling and seeing the shows. We went from the Thomas and Mack after De La Hoya beat Camacho and got into a cab and was over at the Flamingo watching Wayne Newton get on stage.
Was that all the same night?
All the same night.
And then I had to leave and get on a plane in the middle of it.
Yeah.
No wonder I was so messed up.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
Thank God for that Puerto Rican girl.
96 K-Rock. Stan and Haney.
Don't worry. They're only doing their C-list material right now. It'll get better. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. Coming up on the show today in about 1 hour. We were talking about it. It's going to be this round two. Matt Mangus, Mark Haney, Hitmakers.
No. Not
hit
today,
makers. Bro. Today's the day.
Oh, man. So I can't have two losses in a row.
You're not going to have two losses in a row. I feel good this time.
Oh, you're going to see to it, are you?
Yeah, I'll try to. I'll try to put the fix in. I'm going to, you know, I'll go real obscure for him. But the thing is, I don't know what obscure for him is because he'll probably still get it. I was telling him today because he's program director here at K-Rock, but he still has other duties at one of our sister stations that he's doing. And so he's on in the morning. I was at the root canal dentist. They had to go send me to a specialist to have a root canal done that I already had a root canal done on.
Could have all been avoided. It's just, it seems like you're funny about cars and dentists. Because a couple of years ago, you made one mistake. You let the shiny get you.
Yeah. Oh, it was long ago than that. Haney and I had a great dentist. He retired.
Mm-hmm. God, I miss him.
I didn't wasn't able to find a new dentist, so I went for a period of a couple of years to the Dentist City,
mm-hmm.
Dentist World,
Dentist Land,
and it was god awful. And then I found another great, great dentist, a dear friend of mine, and he's a great guy.
Brilliant man.
Brilliant. And
he said, hey, Stan, you remember when you went to Dentist City? Yeah, they mauled you.
Yep. And so he had to send me today to
Mr. Root Canal.
Yes. I think that's what he goes by, Mr. Root Canal. And so as I'm sitting in there, and he's looking, oh, you're a broadcaster. And I said, yeah.
That awkward getting to know you period.
Well, he said, What TV station is it? The CBS affiliate? I said, no, it's radio. And he said, ah, radio, huh? I said, yeah. I says, as a matter of fact, the voice you're listening to right there, that's my boss. He's over at our sister station. No kidding. So he's in there probing and,
mm-hmm.
And who am I listening to? Matt Mangus.
That's my boss.
Matt Mangus right there piped all through the dental office. Some guy was really getting worked over good. I mean, masks and visors.
Is it safe?
Is it safe routine? And what's going on in his room? A lot of Yacht Rock and Matt Mangus. It's true. I got to go first week of vacation.
No.
To go and get it done. And you know what he said to me? He said, I don't know about this. I don't like the work they did. We're going to have to see once we're in there.
You know what? And you're right. We know a brilliant dentist now.
Yeah.
But over the years, between the guy that I would trust with my life and now,
yeah,
you know, you run across all different types. It's,
yeah,
it's almost like worse than a car dealership or a mechanic.
It's a lot like that.
Because once you've decided, okay, my mouth's open, they're working on me, you can't argue with them.
No.
You're not a dentist.
Nope.
You don't know that you're being taken for a ride.
Nope.
You don't know if it's shoddy work or not.
Until...
Because you know all they got to do? Oh, it's supposed to hurt.
I'm going to tell you this right now.
That's the only way you know if it hurts.
I have another root canal in my mouth. The one that was, remember the German down in Naples that moved to Montana?
Yeah.
That guy was phenomenal.
Meticulous.
Meticulous. German. I want to say his name was Schmieding.
I thought it was Zell.
Yeah, and they were looking at my x-rays in the 3D, and every dentist, even at Dentist City, they look at the x-rays and they look at that root canal and they go, that's phenomenal work.
But then the opposite happens,
yeah,
where like what you're going through now. I don't know who was in your mouth the last time,
yeah,
sir, but it looks like a child did it.
Yep. Well, it's true.
But you're paying the same amount.
Same
you don't
amount.
Know.
Same amount.
You don't know.
Boy, when I found out how weak our dental insurance is here.
You told me it was great.
We have high end. The high end. They offer you low and high. We took the high.
Yeah.
Ain't high enough. Grab bag brought to you
Happy
by...
Happy vacation.
Yep.
Good luck with that hotel room.
Yep. Oh.
Enjoy your dentist visit.
I got my girlfriend working on the hotel. You know what she texted me back?
What?
I'm working on this. I'm confused. I can't get a hold of anybody. And on the website now, it says it doesn't open until something like July 15th.
And when's the show?
The 7th.
Great.
Yeah.
Did you give her a budget to work with? Or did you just hand her a card and say, go to town?
She's got a card.
Oh, no.
But she's smart enough not to do that. Oh, remember, here's another installment. We did this yesterday, going back to 1955.
Here's another real tip on how to be a good wife from Housekeeping Monthly magazine in 1955.
Prepare your children. Take a few minutes to wash their hands and faces and comb their hair. Minimize all noise. At the time of your husband's arrival, eliminate all noise of the washer, dryer, or vacuum. And try to encourage your children to be quiet.
How far we've come since 1955. Now we're working women, completely equal to men. Join us next time for more outdated tips from 1955 on how to be a good wife.
Nobody's happier. A lot of angry people.
Nobody is happier. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. Very little time. Let's see what happened last night with the Democratic debate.
Oh, jeez.
Welcome to the first Democratic debate in the 2020 race for president.
Upon being elected,
Senator Klobuchar, I'm fascinated by this, Senator Klobuchar.
And that will do it.
Have a good night, everyone.
Yeah, there you go.
I like Crazy Train. You see that?
Yeah. Well, hold on. I'm not spending a lot of time. This is insignificant. Did you see the microphone snafu that the Bush leaguers at NBC and MSNBC did?
Did they prepare for this?
They didn't. They had four people as moderators, two and two. The second batch was Chuck Todd, and if you can believe it, in a debate about issues, Rachel Maddow.
Wow.
and somebody left the first people, the first moderator's mics on and not theirs, and something that's not supposed to happen in a debate. They had to take a commercial break because they couldn't figure out the microphones. Take a listen.
Get these guns off the streets.
Someone's got my binder.
What's happening?
We are hearing our colleagues' audio. If the control room could turn off the mics of our previous moderators, we will.
I think it's the prior moderator.
You know, we prepared for everything.
Guess what, guys? We are going to take a quick break. We're going to get this technical situation fixed. We will be right back.
You idiots. You idiots. Matt,
they're insane.
They are.
Did you, I'm sure you didn't watch the whole thing. I certainly didn't.
No, I saw it was on. I'm like, oh, it's on. And I changed the channel.
But that Julian Castro.
Yeah.
Did you see his big statement?
No.
That he wants to make sure that abortion is available to everyone, regardless of their ability to pay, including men. He wants to champion that issue to make sure that a man can get an abortion.
Even a man.
Because he got confused in the trans language, and what he ended up saying is that men should be able to access abortion.
A lot of a lot of bilingual stuff there.
Yeah, and then Cory Booker had to double down on it. And Tulsi Gabbard's the only one that made any sense.
She apparently won the debate, according to
Drudge. Well, then again, same people read Drudge.
Yep. Congratulations to this person. This is a proud moment for him, and I think we should all acknowledge it. A town in Mississippi unveiled a historical marker on Saturday to honor a 64-year-old guy's alien abduction.
What?
He says he and his buddy were abducted in 1973 while they were fishing. His buddy's not here to see it. He's passed on. But here is the guy himself, a local official, making the proclamation, and the guy's buddy's son, who was there to accept the award.
It does mean a lot. It meant a lot, all my family coming and Charlie's family coming down here today. But this means so much to have, especially the city in Jackson County and Pascagoula, to recognize this.
Absolutely a thrill for me, especially after meeting Mr. Parker.
I think it's all wonderful. I've been waiting for something like this for years. I just wish my dad was here to see it, and he would have been very proud.
It's emotional to me. I can't really describe it because I'll break out in tears if I do. And I wish when I die I could be buried right here under this plaque. That would explain it the best that I can say. It was quite an honor.
They were abducted and went on a spaceship in 1973.
And you know, Stan, these days in the halls of Congress, there's a lot of talk about reparations. And I think if any group deserves reparations, it's the people that the U.S. government abducted and pretended to be aliens.
Yep.
And did very painful things to them.
Yep, experiments.
Yep.
You just heard them there. You see how they turned out.
Yep.
Yep.
That's where your reparations should go, to your abductees.
This is a good thing and a bad thing. It happened in England.
And why do they put these little pieces of metal in them?
So they can follow them.
And they go, oh, look, that's an alien probe.
This is a good thing and a bad thing. Here's first the bad thing. A mime. You know,
are there still mimes?
Well, there is in England. A mime swindled a town in England on Saturday.
I always knew they were up to no good.
They were having a carnival, and he went around charging people to guess who he was. He was covered in all the black and white mime makeup. And he took their money, claiming it was a fundraiser. There's the mime.
Mime is money.
He never revealed who he was, said it was a fundraiser, kept the money, and left.
disappeared halfway through it. However, the good story, a happy ending. A few days later, he anonymously dropped off the cash at a nearby church.
He didn't come and speak to us. He didn't speak to anybody.
He's a mime.
You know, it was totally silent. It was all done in mime.
Yeah,
but we thought,
idea.
What a wonderful idea. That's brilliant. Well, maybe not.
He was giving out his leaflets, which were basically saying, guess who I am, give me a pound. He was very personable. He was interacting with all the crowds very well.
We don't know him. He can stay as a mystery man, but one of us needs to know who he is.
Our retired vicar, and he said, I've had an envelope put in my postbox, contains cash. It's money from the mystery man for Wollaston Village Hall.
Isn't that nice? How many times have we said it? Don't depend completely on your GPS. It could send you somewhere you don't want to go.
Yeah. Use your common sense.
About 100 people in Denver got stuck in a muddy field on Sunday after a big crash on the highway to the airport blocked traffic. People used Google Maps to find their way around the traffic jam. However, it sent them down a muddy dirt road, and that people got stuck, and more people came and got stuck, and pretty soon 100 cars were stuck in the mud, all following their GPS.
It was supposed to be half the time. My thought was, well, all these other cars are in front of me, so it must be okay. So I just continued.
Oh,
and it spit us out onto a dirt road. And that's when I thought, oh, this was a bad decision. Why did Google send us out there to begin with? It just didn't make any sense. There was no turning back once you were there.
It's a failure of people not knowing how to read a map. People relying and blindly following their technology. You're driving. Google Maps isn't driving. Google Maps isn't perfect. You need to know where you're going.
Yeah. Absolute traffic jam in a muddy field.
But Google said,
look.
What the? That is so much worse than I pictured.
Yeah. Start one off the highway and go down a muddy field. There's a new Disney Channel animated series called Mickey and the Roadster Racers. And Alice Cooper plays one of the voices. He plays Alistair Coop DeVille. And here's Alice Cooper playing his character.
Ha! Is this goof serious? Me work with you again? Well, I do want to see the Golden Gander, so let's do it.
Not a very good actor.
No. Our condolences to Beth Chapman.
Oh, man.
She passed away yesterday. She was 51. Diagnosed with stage 2 throat cancer back in 2017. Was battling it ever since.
And it's like, you know, so many people end up, you know, in horrible marriages, and say what you will about the two of them, but by God, they loved each other.
Yeah, they did. It's how much. Here's a clip from Inside Edition back in 2017 when a dog was saying, you know what, you better cure her or I'm going to kill you.
It's just like hearing someone telling you that you're going to die, you know, and you're just like, what?
I told the doctor, she dies, you die. I said, I don't mean to be like that. And I don't mean to threaten you because I'm a good person. But, Doc, if she dies, you die.
She was 51. Mm. We're going to take
him. I'm worried about him.
I am, too. You know what? They were inseparable.
Because he plays his part, and he plays it very well, but she kept all the plates spinning.
Yep. Your phone calls next, and I've got a story. Look, I hear all these shark lovers going around and talking
who
about...
Who shall remain nameless.
Who, oh, well,
there's one shark out there. They think you're food. No. Tragedy in the Bahamas as three sharks attack a 21-year-old girl to death. I'll tell you about it. Stan and Haney, 96 no. K-Rock. Yes!
96 K-Rock.
Morgan & Morgan, dial #529 on your cell phone. Pound law, that's all.
K-Rock. We live our lives according to the biblical principle that it is far better to give than to receive. And the management here at Beasley is just fine with that arrangement. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Phone lines are open if you want to talk to us. If you contribute to the show, we got some prizes for you. I'll go over those in just a second. 277-9600 is the telephone number. But before we do anything along those lines, and again, if you want to call in now, you can get yourself a prize if you contribute. By the way, Hitmakers in about 25 minutes. But for all of you... And I know, and you know who you are, who think that sharks are timid creatures, that they only bite us when they think we're a fish. It's usually a single bite and they go away. Such is not the case. This comes to us from...
Oh, but they're majestic creatures.
Aren't they? This comes to us, I combined two stories... For information purposes, from CNN and the Daily Mail. Headline. American woman killed in a Bahamas shark attack while snorkeling with her family. Dateline. Yep, there we go. Thank you. Dateline, Bahamas. This is horrific and so sad. An American woman died after a shark attack in the Bahamas on Wednesday. That was yesterday. According to a spokesperson for the Royal Bahamas Police Force, 21-year-old Jordan Lindsay of Torrance, California, had been on a snorkeling expedition with her family near Rose Island. This is according to... local station WPLG. Around 2 p.m., she was attacked by three sharks. This according to Deputy Commissioner Paul Rowley. She was bitten on her arms, legs, buttocks, and her right arm was bitten off.
Oh, God.
She was rushed to shore and then taken to a hospital where she was pronounced dead. Authorities have not said what kind of sharks were involved. Lindsay was with her parents on a tour boat excursion for snorkeling and swimming.
Just a nice day.
Well, you've been to the Bahamas. I've been to the Bahamas, too. Maybe you know more about this than I do. Part of the snorkeling thing and swimming was to swim with the feral pigs.
Oh, that's where that fire festival was supposed to be
held. Oh, really?
Held. Yeah.
Now...
I don't understand that.
There was no blood in the water. There was... Three sharks teaming up to go after the girl snorkeling. I'm sorry. That's unacceptable. Now, I don't know what the deal is. I have not heard of some guy. I've heard of swimming with whales and swimming with dolphins. Have not heard.
There's an island
swimming with pigs
over there.
Yeah, it's called Rose Island,
where they have allowed the feral pigs to get out of control, and it happens here too. On the out islands around Sanibel, Captiva, and around there.
Yeah.
What's the big state park?
Coruscant? Not Coruscant.
No, out there.
Yeah, I know. Ding Darling.
No, that's on Sanibel.
Oh. Well, then I don't know.
But it'll come to me. But a friend of mine, she went there to have a picnic with her kids, and they got attacked by a feral hog that went into the water after them.
Pigs will do that. But this is a thing where you swim with them. They're like, I guess,
used to I know.
People.
And I don't know what the deal is with that or why they tolerate it. It's a horrible idea.
Yeah, but
and you know what? Those pigs out there, they get in the water and they swim around.
Yeah.
Every shark within 1,000 miles knows there's easy meals there.
277-9600. Ahoy.
Stan, Rusty.
Yeah. Who's this?
Rusty.
Hey, Rusty.
Hey, the state park you guys are thinking about is Cayo Costa.
Thank you.
Cayo Costa, thank you.
How
so
the hell did we forget that?
I don't know. I go out there all the time, man. But
and do you see? And do you see the wild hogs running around and swimming?
No, I ain't seen them swimming, but they had to get there somehow. But no, I've seen them on the island though.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's right. They had to get there somehow. You did a story on this. Your average pigs on the farm, they get loose within a week. They go feral.
Yep.
That they
it's like they transform into something else.
Yep. They could be a domestic pig. Oh, you have your little pig as a pet and all that. Let them run wild for a week, and they go feral.
Mm-hmm.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Jason.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, the last guy said Cayo Costa, which is right for the pigs, but in the Bahamas?
Yeah.
The name of the island is Staniel Cay. It's not Rose Island. It's Staniel Cay. It's a private island of the Bahamas.
Well, they mentioned the pigs.
Yeah, they mentioned the pigs, and they mentioned Rose Island in the CNN report.
Well, that's CNN.
Yeah.
That's fake news.
Exactly, fake news. But yes, Staniel Cay is where the actual pigs that are pink and swim in the water and walk in the flats. And stuff.
Now, have you gone down there and experienced anything like that?
God, no.
I mean, yeah,
why would you want to?
Look, I have no idea. That's what it was an outing where they swim, snorkel, and swim with feral pigs.
Let me tell you something. If I want to swim with an animal, it's going to be one of two things. A dolphin or a Labrador retriever.
You know, and you're swimming with the pigs and then suddenly sharks get you. Three sharks in a joint attack. And there were other people there. There were family. This one person. It's not like the shark hit and run. Oh, it's not pig food.
Yeah, then they weren't confused.
Yeah, they were confused. They thought it was a pig.
I mean, there is an outside chance that maybe that it wasn't perfect weather. But if they were out, it must have been nice enough. And the water in the Bahamas, there's no confusion what they're hitting.
Yep, crystal clear. Those waters, beautiful waters.
And I remember having spent some time there. When I went over there with Tommy, we were up on the top of a cliff in a house, and I was up on the deck, and you'd have to take at least three flights of stairs to get down to the beach. And Tommy went out there, and of course we'd all had, several cocktails.
And convivials.
Yeah. And so Tommy has a couple of convivials, and he says, you know what, F it. I'm going to go get our dinner. And so he decides he's going to go get lobster right off there.
Right.
And I am up on the deck, and I'm watching, and you can see everything in the friggin' water.
So I don't know what the heck. I'd also like to know what kind of shark.
And I yelled at him, because there was one, and it was probably, in his defense, it was probably many football fields away from him. But I tried to yell down at him, Tommy, shark. You know what that smartass did.
What?
He's got his snorkel on and his mask, and he pops up and goes, "Why?"
Oh, look at there's a video of these pigs. Oh, they're so gentle. They're oh, look, adorable. And then meanwhile, the sharks are going, just adorable. Let's
look
bring
at
out
that.
Their little infant
look at their
babies
sharks.
And their oh my god. No. No, 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 no. No, no.
Now, what we're looking at is video of the pigs, and then there's a couple of noise sharks.
A noise shark?
Yeah. Noise shark.
Yeah. No, sorry. Well, those aren't killers. Those are just,
they'll still bite you.
Yeah, if you put your hand in their mouth. What she got were killers.
If you got somebody with the mentality of, I love swimming with pigs, you want to put it past them to not put a limb in a noise shark's mouth?
Yeah, those are docile, petting docile.
You see, she just went to mess with it.
Yeah. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, ahoy, smell. Geez, sorry.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
I think he's...
Hey, ahoy, Stinny. You know,
am I on a am I on a speakerphone?
It's not a personal swimming pool.
Okay. Wrong number.
What the heck?
Wrong number.
The heck's your deal?
God, that is beautiful water.
It is gorgeous. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Brian.
Hey, Brian.
I just wanted to make a comment about the sharks and the pigs. I mean, yes. Sharks like bacon too, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they weren't. They weren't eating bacon.
They like bacon. They like a rib.
Yeah, and human flesh.
Ham hock.
Yep. We got to take a break because we're gonna make
that
room.
Is the worst idea ever. I don't know who came up with that, but we need to put a stop to it.
We're gonna invite Matt Mangus in. Give a
oh come on,
Haney
man.
And Matt Hitmakers, and then I'm gonna have at the end one question.
How bad
for
did him. I lose the last
Not bad,
time
by two? Because he stole one from you, and you missed one. And that wasn't that bad. I'll throw out a pair of tickets to Godsmack after the game, too. We'll give
you know, every week I put my ass on the line with Smarter Than Haney. Now I got it. Now the next day I got to beat Mangus.
You used to love this game.
Uh-huh. In this game, uh-huh. I was never asked about something so obscure from 1961 that even Mangus didn't know.
I think you might win today. I can't guarantee it, but you might.
You got money on this, don't you?
No, I don't have
you
any.
Rat bastard!
Our show is like a big party. A party in your ears. And we're all coming. Stan and Haney on 96K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated. About 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic. News headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer. Your emails in 1 hour. Our question of the week. And Matt Mangus has joined us in the studio. Hi, Matt.
Where's Haney? Oh, here he is.
There he is.
I noticed he was a little reticent about getting into this today. So
I don't want to upset you, Mark.
I don't want to upset you. Come on, man. Come on.
You know
You're
what?
Mark Haney.
I got the weight of the world on my shoulders.
Yeah, he does today.
I can see that.
I'm fighting many battles. And you know what?
What?
None of them have a damn thing to do with me.
Not one. It's not one. They
What's
find
bugging
you?
What's bugging you?
I'm just trying to save the world, man.
I know that.
Haney and he more so than me, we try to avoid conflict, strife,
I don't
arguments,
leave the house.
And it finds you. It finds you.
Well,
let's play a round of Hitmakers. Going to change the rules a little bit.
You said Hitmakers.
Yep. You're going to name the hit. You're going to name the artist. I'm going to give you the hit.
All right.
And last time we played this a couple of weeks ago, I let you guys pick the years.
And I kind of took advantage of Haney being a little older than him.
Well, I'm going to pick the year for each of you. We are going to
So we don't have a say in it.
You don't have a say. I'm going to give you a year, and then I'm going to give you the song. You tell me the artist.
And you know Stan's trick questions. We're doomed.
Nothing
here.
Trick. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Straight out of the Billboard Hottest Hot 100 Hits.
Well, we went straight up the last time, and you won.
And it was
good luck, sir.
It was straight up. Now, If you answer correctly, you'll hear this.
Hello?
You'll hear this.
No.
You'll hear this. If you answer correctly, you'll hear this.
Come on, Mr. Producer.
There we go.
All right.
Incorrectly. Now, here's the thing. If you cannot guess...
You'll hear this.
Yeah. If you are incorrect, your opponent can steal. We will go on a time limit today. I will let you know when there is 1 minute left into the competition.
All right.
Once we have completed the competition and we determine a winner, before we go to commercial break, I will give one more song title, and that will be for the listeners. First correct answer will get a pair of tickets to Godsmack.
Perfect.
All right.
Works for me.
Let's play Stan's Hitmakers with Matt Mangus, program director of 96 K Rock, and might I add, voice of most dental offices.
He said there was a guy getting worked over.
Masks, goggles, really digging deep in the drill.
My show is great for anxiety.
A man in complete misery, but listening to you and
it's Yacht Rock. Me and the Little River Band.
The Little River Band is so underrated.
Well, you know, the Little River Band that's around now is kind of not from Australia.
Yeah, but they're good.
Yeah, they can play the songs.
And they put out new albums.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you heard any of them?
I have heard them.
They're not bad.
I've seen them live.
All right.
Not actually the Little River Band.
Is there like one guy, like a drummer or a bass player?
There's one guy that was involved in the 80s, but the Australian guys that formed the band,
yeah,
they're in Australia, can't perform as Little River Band, can't even be formerly the Little River Band. So
how did these guys get the name?
You know how it goes in the music business. One day there's going to be a guy walking around saying he's Mark Haney.
Yeah,
and you won't have anything to do with it.
He bought the rights from Beasley.
Yeah.
No. No, it'll be my AI.
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
All right, here we go. And we'll start with Mark Haney.
Of course.
I'll pick the year.
Okay.
And I'll tell you right now, personally, I would not want to deal with an AI version of myself.
Stan?
What?
An AI version of Haney?
No. Well, there'll be one with me, too, and then they can go at it. All right, Haney. 1971.
Okay.
That's about in the middle.
Yeah.
Number 50 for the year. Man. If.
Bread.
Yep.
Very good.
Yep.
David Gates.
Haney is on the board.
Yes, indeed.
Matt Mangus. Let's see what year.
I can't believe that was only number 50.
For the year. Yeah, I'm sure it was number one at one
point.
They
had a lot of songs.
We were there last week or 2 weeks ago, so I'm going to move on from there. All right, Matt Mangus. Number 31 for 1972.
Okay.
Hurting Each Other. Hurting Each Other.
Oh, I should know this. Can't we stop hurting each other? Gotta stop.
I need an answer. I'm sorry.
The main ingredient.
No, that is incorrect.
Rob, you're having a bad day.
Haney, you can steal.
Richard and Karen, we call them the Carpenters.
Absolutely correct.
See, I should have known that.
Haney's up 2-0.
Horrible.
Haney? And he has control.
You're back.
He has control of the board. Mark Haney.
Well, that's because I'm not making my own decisions.
That's right.
Stan's got the fix in.
Leave it in Stan's hands.
I think he bet money on this to make sure I'd win.
1983, Haney.
That's right, in your wheelhouse.
Number 30 for the year.
Yeah, I'd been in radio for a whole year.
The Safety Dance.
Men Without Hats.
You're correct. Men Without Hats.
Oh, man, that's a gimme.
Oh, you knew that. How come you didn't get the one that the Carpenters?
Yeah, well, I sang the song.
Yes, you did. Matt Mangus.
Classical Gas. Yeah, Mason Williams, 1968.
Yeah. Keep that going. Let's see what I'm going to ask Matt Mangus.
Don't ask me anything. I love this song.
Yeah, I know. All right, Matt Mangus, 1979.
All right.
Number 50 for the year. She Believes in Me.
Kenny Rogers.
You are correct. It is Kenny Rogers. Mark Haney's up 3-1. And we go. Mark Haney has control.
Da, da, da. The NFL on CBS is brought to you by Brill Cream and Schlitz Malt Liquor.
Mark Haney, 1961.
Oof.
It was the number 6 song for the year. Pony Time. Pony Time.
Little Eva.
Incorrect. Matt Mangus, you can steal. Pony Time.
Chubby Checker.
You are right. It's Chubby Checker.
Come on, let's twist again.
Like we did last summer.
The Limbo Rock.
Again, like we did last year.
I had the Limbo Rock 45 when I was a kid.
3-2. Haney ahead of
Dancing apart
Mangus.
To the beat.
Yep. Oh, I heard that. So many did. Matt, you have control. Chance to tie it up.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay. 1980, Matt Mangus.
All right.
Number 63 for the year. Let's Get Serious.
Jermaine Jackson.
Yes.
Let's Get Serious and Fall
yes.
in Love. Love
yep.
that song.
Score's tied. Mark Haney to keep the lead. Score's tied right now. Let's see where we're going to go. Dun, dun, dun. Haney, 1963. Number 21 for
You're
the year.
You're doing me a lot of favors,
He's hurting
Dan.
You,
yeah,
man.
Number 21 for the year. Be My Baby.
The Ronettes.
Yes, sir. The Ronettes.
Yes, indeed.
Matt Mangus to tie Mark Haney.
All right.
Number 59 for the year, 1978. Okay. Our Love. Our Love. 1978, number 59, Our Love.
Our Love.
Was on the Capitol label.
Okay, Our Love
Capitol
on the Capitol
Records.
Level, 1978.
Our Love.
Dionne Warwick? I have no idea.
Incorrect. Not a bad guess. Incorrect. Mark Haney to steal.
Commodores?
Incorrect.
Is it Diana Ross?
Natalie Cole.
Ah, okay.
Mark Haney has control. Mark Haney, 1981. Number 23 for the year.
You got this.
The One That You Love. The One That You Love.
Air Supply.
Yes, sir. Yes. Yes.
Great rivals of the Little River Band.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I play a few of their songs over across the hall as well.
Mark Haney, 5. Matt Mangus, 3.
Okay.
Matt, let's see where we're going. We're going to go we're gonna go way back for you on this one.
Uh-oh.
You know... This really, even if I win numerically, he knows more than I
he
do by at
lot.
Least a decade.
Yep.
I disagree. I think we're even.
Matt Mangus, 1956.
Oof.
Number 45 for the year. A Rose and a Baby Ruth. A Rose
what?
And a Baby Ruth.
I said her before, Patti Page.
Incorrect.
I have no idea.
Haney, you want to take a guess at that?
Gene Autry.
No. No. George Hamilton the IV. A Rose and
take
a Baby
Take that book
Ruth.
Away from him.
No. All right. Haney, you have control.
No, I don't. You pick the questions.
Yeah, I know. But you it's up to you to answer.
Rose and a baby Ruth.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was. We know that there was a remake of this.
What year is it again?
We're going to go to 1968. We're not looking for the hit remake. We're looking for the original. Number 41 for the year in 1968. Moni Moni.
Tommy James and the Shondells.
Yes, sir. You are correct. And right now, although Matt has another turn, you've doubled him up.
6-3. See?
All right. Well, let's go to 1969 for Matt.
All right.
That should be right in the wheelhouse.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Let's pick number 84.
All right. If that's what you want, let me see what was.
You got to be very careful what you say.
I know. I set him off.
All right. 1984 for the year 1969.
All right.
It was the 84th biggest hit.
Okay.
The song was called Tracy. On the Decca label. You wanted 84, so that's what I gave you.
You smart ass. Somebody Stafford?
Incorrect.
I have no idea.
Classics 4?
Good guess, incorrect. The Cufflinks.
Of course, yeah. He's killing me.
Well, you asked for it.
No, I did.
Andy,
I did.
You have
did.
Control? Let's see. Yeah, that's true. You did ask for it.
I did. Yeah. Keep my mouth shut.
Mark Haney, 1967, the number 28 hit for the year. The name of the song, Reflections.
Supremes?
Yes. Yes, it is. Diana Ross and the Supremes. He's
killing me. Yeah,
all right. Let me see.
The first
that
game
was pretty good. I was one
was
when
aberration.
That came out. Yeah.
It's very good.
All right. Matt.
Yes.
1962.
Okay.
Big hit. Number 18 for the year. Who did The Stripper? Very famous song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Advertising, everything. This is in your wheelhouse, the 60s. Who did The Stripper?
I'm drawing a blank. Tony,
no.
I have no idea.
No.
David Rose.
Yes, you are correct.
Andy.
Yes. You're absolutely correct. And you
cleaning
have,
my clock
and
today.
You have control of the board. Very good. Very good. You should have known that.
I should have known it.
That's something you should know. Let's see.
Haney spent more time in strip clubs than I have.
Oh, that was the Noxzema shaving cream commercial.
No, you know what it is, Matt?
What is it?
It's very selective when you get before the 70s, but there are certain things I know because I've worked every format known to man since
true.
I was 15.
Yep.
I went when I first started in radio, I went immediately from playing rock and roll, straight out rock and roll, anything I wanted to play, which is a very bad thing for a young man being introduced to radio to get used to. They changed the format to big band, and I was back on the air the next day playing songs from the 40s and 50s and God knows what.
And I bet you pulled it off.
I did.
Yeah.
Matt Mangus, 1974.
Okay.
Number 59 for the year. Sideshow. Sideshow.
Man. Sideshow.
On the Atco label.
No clue.
None? You're not going to even try.
No. No
Haney.
What year was it?
1974. The song Sideshow.
Ohio Players.
Nope. Blue Magic.
No.
Blue Magic.
Don't know that.
All right, Mark, you have control. Mark Haney, number 21. Oh, I'm sorry. Where did it go? I heard it. Number 23 for the year 1975. Number 23. I'm Not in Love.
10cc.
Yes.
He's lofting some softballs at you.
All right. I'm going to stick in the same year and go to the very next song that's right next to it for Matt Mangus.
All right.
This is the very next song.
It's a remake of Baby Ruth.
Well, it is a remake. It is a remake. 1974 was number 24 that year, right behind
10cc.
10cc. It's a remake. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
That would be Elton John,
Elton
correct?
Elton John, yes, sir. You're up to four.
Boy, he's lobbing you some softballs.
Yeah, he sure is.
All right.
You probably played that this morning.
3 minutes left on the clock.
All right.
Mark Haney. Number 57 for the year 1976. I Love Music, Part 1. I Love Music, Part 1.
Any kind of music?
It just says, I Love Music,
Part
1.
Is that
one.
Ohio Express?
Incorrect. You can steal.
I Love Music.
Part 1.
Oh, I know what it is.
Let Matt try, and then, although it won't count, you can tell me.
I'm not going to tell you. It won't count.
I you got me.
I know what it is.
What is it?
Isley Brothers?
No.
You sure?
The OJs.
Oh.
Okay. You're on the right track.
Matt Mangus. Number 18 for the year 1977. Torn Between Two Lovers.
Maureen McGregor.
No.
That is incorrect. Mark, you can steal.
Maureen McGovern.
That is incorrect.
It's Mary McGregor.
You are correct, Mark Haney.
Mary McGregor? Really?
Yes.
Yep.
That is absolutely correct. Haney has control. He is leading 10-4.
10-4.
Mark Haney. Let's stay in 1977. Number 93 for 1977. Isn't it time? Isn't it time?
The Babies.
Yes.
Well done. Yes. John Waite.
Yep.
Saw them for 66 cents at the Palladium in New York City.
He's great.
Back in the
He's
day.
Had a lot of hits over his life. All right. 2 minutes to go.
Okay.
Let's see. Matt Mangus, 1982. Number 30 for the year in 1982. That Girl.
Stevie Wonder.
Yes, Stevie Wonder.
Love that song.
Haney will stay in the same year.
What year is it?
1982. Number 44 for the year. Only the Lonely.
You're not going to believe me, but the answer to that flashed before you asked the question when you said 1982.
Really?
The Motels.
Yes, the Motels.
Well done.
All right, we're going.
Honest to God, that was in my mind.
I'm going to let Matt answer one, and then we'll do one more round.
All right.
Matt Mangus. I'll go right into your wheelhouse.
Okay.
1966. Number 20 for the year.
Okay.
Little Red Riding Hood.
Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs.
You are correct. Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs. All right, this is our final round. Final round, and we'll get the total scores, and then somebody will get a chance.
Good final round music.
Godsmack tickets. You will both get a question or a song title from 1970.
Okay.
Mark Haney, number 25 for the year 1970. Spirit in the Sky.
Norman Greenbaum.
Yes! Yes!
Well done.
Yup. All right. Same for you, Matt Mangus.
All right, here we go.
1970. 70. And I want the full title.
Oh, boy.
Number 50 for the year, 1970. Indiana Wants Me.
Oh, boy.
Lord, I can't go back
there. Yeah, I can. I know the song. I know the song.
Indiana Wants Me.
Indiana Wants Me. I'm drawing a blank. I'm sorry.
Haney, you can steal.
Mark Goober Lindsay.
Do you know it, though?
It's not Mark Lindsay?
No.
I could have swore that was Mark Lindsay.
Paul Revere and the Raiders?
No. R. Dean Taylor.
Okay.
Of course. Yes, Rare the Earth. Immortal R. Dean Taylor.
Yep. The final score, Mark Haney, 13, Matt Mangus, 6.
Yeah, see? There you go. All right, well, a little redemption.
Rubber match will be coming up.
All right.
We'll stay in 1970 for the listener. Rob, first correct answer.
So I'm not supposed to answer
No,
this?
You're not supposed to answer.
What about Matt? Can he answer?
No, he cannot answer.
So this is for the listener?
Yes, it's for the listener.
Mr. Carter.
A chance for Godsmack tickets. First correct answer. We'll get it. 1970. Julie, do you love me? Julie, do you love me?
Good
luck. One of the greats.
Yeah, no
First
doubt.
Correct answer will get the Godsmack tickets.
A lot of posters in young girls'
yep.
bedrooms.
You betcha.
We're Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
All women are crazy. And so are we. No wonder things have gone so smoothly for us in the romance department. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. According to Rob, it took the second caller to identify the hit maker. It was Bobby Sherman. And there you go. Very quickly on the trail. I see Junior's here today. Let's call him Mr. Tonsillectomy.
You know you're going to be eating a lot of ice cream, Cindy.
Yep, a lot of popsicles and ice cream. What are you? How old are you? Like a kid? You're getting your tonsils out.
I'm 25.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had to go because he had an owie.
Yeah.
This is serious.
Doctor said, "Got to take your tonsils out."
Said he can't see my airway. That's pretty serious.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Give me a broken pen. I'll show you the airway. Put it right down there. You'll breathe fine.
Thank you, Chief Edwards.
Thank you.
Your airway. Is your throat sore now?
No, I feel all right, yeah. But he said it's got to go. What?
I never knew this about him. He is an effing hypochondriac.
Oh, yeah.
Of the first order.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on.
He had that mouth rot infection
yep.
and then started thinking that he was going to die from mouth cancer.
Apparently, that's from swishing toothpaste.
Jesus. Which has nothing to do with your tonsils.
No. Yeah, it has nothing to do with
You'll
it.
You'll be fine.
Yeah. Your tonsils out.
He's one of those people.
Maybe your adenoids, too.
What is that?
You know, he gets a headache or something and goes on WebMD and then down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, WebMD is what did it for me, yeah.
You know, there's so many people.
So it's like, oh, my gums are a little bit off. I'll look on the internet. Oh, well, of course, I've got some sort of mouth cancer.
His gums were a little off. He showed me. It looked like those pink gums were cottage cheese all down there.
It's because he switched toothpaste.
Yeah, that's got to be it.
He said I have nice gums, though.
Why did you switch toothpaste?
I ran out of the old one, and it was on sale.
Oh, a sale
it
toothpaste.
It was a sale. Buy one, get one. Apparently, that's
sale
what did.
Toothpaste.
Mm-hmm. Don't the BOGOs.
Don't buy sale toothpaste.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you something, and they did a news story about this. You know where you go to these real places, you know, something like a dollar, and they'll go and have name brand products,
mm-hmm.
but you look at the label, and it's not from their manufacturing plant here in the USA?
Yeah. or it is, but it's been exported out to another country that didn't use them and then sent back in.
So be careful about that there, you know.
Scratch and dent.
Yeah, it's a little, yeah, a lot of scratch and dent. Our question of the week coming up in just a little bit. But before we do that, we got to check headlines, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails, and yeah, traffic.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, let's see what we got on the board here. There, okay. North Fort Myers got a crash. North Tamiami Trail and Pondella Road North should be in the clearing stages. And this one in Fort Myers, crash 600 block of Dantley Drive. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Coming up in less than 1 hour, the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most experienced respected.
That's right.
Well, you know what? I think there's something wrong with my gums.
Have you recently switched toothpaste?
I have.
You might need your tonsils out.
Yeah.
Either that or you got mouth cancer.
Yeah. You know, I switched to Pepsodent. That was the one my grandmother always had because the Hollywood stars used it.
Oh, yeah. What about Topol, the smoker's toothpaste?
You remember that? let's take a look at the headlines. Topol. Yes, I do remember that. That used to be their big thing.
Yep.
The smoker's toothpaste.
People don't believe us. They think we made that
up. It's true.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Who knew gingivitis causes tonsillitis? There it is. There's the ad. There's the ad. You know what that is right there in that white handkerchief?
You know what?
Nicotine.
Why don't you bring it up?
Hold on. Yeah, hold on. Start it from the beginning, Rob. Let me hit the right button here. Let me shut this off. There you go. Oh, yes, sir, yeah.
There you're smoking.
There you go.
See this ugly yellow stain? That's what comes from cigar or cigarette smoke. Just think what smoking a pack a day, every day, could do to your teeth.
Yeah.
But look, here's Topol, the smoker's tooth polish that helps remove all kinds of superficial tobacco stains.
Yeah.
Topol starts to work immediately to clean your teeth and to help remove these stains. Just use Topol week after week and watch your teeth get brighter and brighter. Topol. The smoker's tooth polish, now in 3 ounce regular or 7 ounce fluoride.
Yeah.
They got a picture of a cigarette with an ashtray.
Yeah.
Right. With some smoking.
Some toothpaste.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And you can tell the guy that did the ad there, he was a smoker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Sorry.
You know, you're hearing a lot these days about fake hamburgers.
What do you mean? Like a not burger?
Yeah, well, they did
a veggie burger.
They did the Impossible Whopper where they give you a hamburger, but there's no meat involved, and they tell you don't worry about how we make it. It's made with Soylent Green. Don't worry about it. No cow.
Yeah.
Well,
Rob, do they still make Topol? Do they still make Topol?
No, it's unavailable on Amazon.
Damn it. Bet you they still sell it in China.
Yeah. Probably in Eastern Europe.
Yeah. Topol.
The smoker's tooth polish.
You could also get a tube with fluoride.
Yep. If you want it.
Not necessary.
So they're trying to create all of these vegetarian burgers and all this.
Yeah.
Well, you can always count on Arby's to go the other way.
I hope so. They're Arby's.
Arby's is going completely the other way. They figured out how to make carrots out of meat.
Nice.
It's only fair.
Yeah.
An update on a story that we brought you back in February regarding a gentleman who accidentally shot himself in the junk.
Yeah, I remember.
We'll check in with him and see how he's doing.
He went on WebMD and said, maybe I have a problem.
Mm-hmm. Hypochondriac, I think, yeah. Stan, I got to give you a trigger warning.
Yeah.
A cow smuggler dies when one of the cows kicks him in the groin and killed him.
It can kill you.
And finally, there is a 29-year-old woman in Tampa named Chanel Hall.
Hey, Chanel.
There was an incident involving Chanel that involved breaking in to her ex-girlfriend's home and an attack involving a lava lamp.
Oh, my God.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Absolute Law text line, tell Junior to get a chastity belt for his vagina.
Oh, my God, dude. Oh, he's a good boy. Yes. Come on. He just gets scared.
WebMD, man. Come on.
4 o'clock fluffer time. Brought to you by Firehouse Subs, Cape Coral, Fort Myers. Mark.
Stan.
Junior.
Amy.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
I'm a little off today.
Right, wait a second. Are you okay? Wait, are you all right over there? What's going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, just fat thumbs today. Sorry.
Oh, I know the thing. I got this iWatch. And I try to do one of those one-word reply answers, and I'm hitting the wrong one, and people don't know what the hell I'm saying.
What?
That was... See? Mark, go ahead.
Russia
chastity
says...
Chastity belt.
Russia says it will have a TV show showing their version of what really happened at Chernobyl.
Ah, yeah, the truth, huh?
So that will probably join today's list of the
top
TV shows in Russia.
Top TV shows in Russia.
Fresh off the boat that tried to collide with a U.S. Navy ship. How I Detained Your Mother. Dancing with the Czars.
I like that one.
It's always sunny and glowing in Chernobyl. Yeah. The real deformed housewives of Chernobyl.
Oh. What happened at Chernobyl, Junior?
A nuclear reactor exploded.
Yeah, and what happened?
A bunch of people got sick and died.
I don't think it exploded.
It didn't explode.
It did explode.
It released radioactive steam.
It exploded.
The explosion wasn't a cause.
There was graphite on the roof.
The explosion was an effect.
Of
was it the
heat?
It was the button they pushed or something. Exploded. I've seen the show.
It's what they call a nuclear meltdown.
Yeah, meltdown. The core of the big
broke
thing.
Broke containment.
Yeah, broke and leaked.
I've seen the show.
Jesus.
WKGB in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Russia's funniest assassinations. Really drunk history.
Laugh it up.
Yeah. I saw him today, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Where is he?
Wandering somewhere. I don't know. Supposedly doing his real job here.
Oh. And finally, the very top TV show in Russia.
Yes.
Breaking Vlad. And that, my friends, is a 4 o'clock.
Open. Touch the building.
Email time, ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay, okay.
Junior, knowing what you know now, would you suggest that people make sure that they do their own self-care and doctoring on the internet?
No. I recommend going to a professional.
There we go. Okay. Yeah. See, he learned something.
Yeah. It's been a couple weeks of hell for me.
Well, you convinced yourself of things that weren't true.
Yeah, I convinced myself that I was dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not good for your mental health, is it?
No, it's not. No.
You tend to act out a bit.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
And then you find out you're not, and you got to live with the consequences. You know.
I don't know. Everything's golden.
This is from Josh. Ahoy, Stan and Haney Show. Can you retell the wonderful legend of how the Babakusaw became the Babakusaw? Will it be the centerpiece for Stan's reception tables at the wedding? All three of them.
Yeah, can we get a little product placement there, Stan?
Have a good one and congrats, Stan. Signed, Josh. I'll tell you what that is. That goes all the way back to like 1992, 93. And our old partner Joe was in a grocery store, and there was a black woman shopping in the store. And she was looking down the aisle with the ketchups and the mustard.
Condiments.
And the other condiments. And screamed out to one of the stock boys, "Where the Babakusaw? Where the Babakusaw?" There it is, right there. The rest is
now
history.
Now we have it.
Yeah,
we have it available. Yep. She asked for the product. Yep. We created it.
Yeah, now we have the Babakusaw. Ladies and gentlemen, the Guardian.
Jesus.
Yeah. Wow.
What do we got here?
Where do I dive in? Ahoy, gentlemen. Haney, yes, I know about Samantha Powers and her request for unmasking. I'm sure you know that there was a 350% increase in requests for unmasking.
Absolutely correct.
My big question is, why was she doing that? In her position, she had no need to try to unmask people. It simply was not her job. That is correct. But we have all found out how much bias she had for Trump. Which was revealed in her emails. Personally, I think she was asked to make the unmasking request. Also, did you know that there were unmasking requests 30 minutes before Trump took office?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was listening to Alan Dershowitz last night, and he said something very interesting. When Mueller testifies, the question the Dems might ask about anything in his report are not allowed because it's already been in his report. The Republicans will ask questions that deal with things that were not in the report, which will be allowed. You just know the Dems won't ask meaningful questions and once again will look like fools.
It really is. It's like a giant clown car.
Yeah. Oh, and so, Stan, is your fiancé aware of Stan Luck and how many simple things seem to become a big hassle?
Yeah, and how many simple things can go wrong, especially when traveling.
Yep. And I heard about your hotel. It figures that you tried ahead of the game only to get kicked in the chongs.
Mm-hmm.
Hope it works out. You guys are the best sign of the Guardian.
Jesus.
Our question.
Why does it keep happening?
I don't know.
It's a regular occurrence.
Yeah, like the cartoon with the cloud just following you.
Mm-hmm.
Our question of the week is
next.
Have
you at any point just started to adjust and assume that bad things are going to happen?
Why did you say yesterday when you and I were talking off the air about personal stuff that I have such a negative thing about it?
And you see what you did now.
Yeah, it went down. We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
Just like my grandpa used to say. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated. Mark Haney in the news. Oh, in about 25, 30 minutes. It's Thursday. So that means our question of the week. We'll pose to you our question of the week. Do some traffic while you pick up the phone and call in. And you can answer our question of the week. You have the right answer. It's your answer. No yes or no's. With us. We asked a question probably a couple of years ago. What's on your bucket list? And we'll kind of rephrase it now, a couple of years later. Our question of the week, what have you checked off your bucket list? Everybody's got something that they, man, I hope to do that before I die. I hope to be able to do that before I have to, whatever. What have you checked off your bucket list? 277-9600. I'll release the phones. Rob, make sure that they want to answer the question of the week. What have you checked off your bucket list?
That's a good one.
277-9600. Let's check some traffic, and then we'll get to your phone calls. What have you checked off your bucket list? 277-9600.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, a couple of things on the board. Both of them are in Lehigh Acres. We have a crash, Williams Avenue and Lee Boulevard. The other one, hit and run. 26th Street Southwest and Gunnery Road South. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update right before Mark Haney and the news. We all have one. Things we'd like to do. Things we'd like to accomplish in our life.
Dreams.
Dreams. We call it the bucket list. Things to do before you kick the bucket. What have you checked off your bucket list? What's one of those things on that bucket list that you have done? 277-9600. As far as I'm concerned, having the opportunity to do this show has checked off a lot of things on my bucket list. And I've had a chance to tour Europe and have gone back more than once, something I always wanted to do. But I think I look at a bucket list for me, musically, are bands and acts that I've had the opportunity to see at certain times. Guns N' Roses on New Year's Eve at Joe Robbie Stadium, getting to see Paul McCartney, getting to see Bob Dylan, getting to see somebody that was on my bucket list, go see John Fogerty. And then later on, early next month, I get to go see Jeff Lynne and ELO. Those guys, those were on my bucket list. I wanted to see these guys. So many things have given us the opportunity. Interviewing my childhood hero, Bobby Mercer. Just him strolling by and sitting down.
I got to find that video.
I wish you would. I mean, when I was a kid, the only Yankee I cared about was Bobby Mercer. Here we are doing this show. We're at a golf tournament.
You and him were best buds.
And all of a sudden, he comes strolling around. Who wants to talk to me? And I'm looking, oh, my God, it's Bobby Mercer. It's like bucket list stuff for me. What about you?
I'll try not to make it too long. And you've been there for most of them.
Yeah.
Getting to sit down and have dinner one-on-one with Don Shula.
I remember it well.
But really, I think when it comes to the spirit of the question, it would be, yes, I've seen and met people musically. But you want to talk about bucket list stuff. I got to open for Lynyrd Skynyrd,
yep,
multiple times.
Yep.
I got to open for the Allman Brothers.
Yep.
I got to open for ZZ Top.
Yep. Bucket list stuff.
But what you hear right now in the background was one of my musical heroes, Dave Feaster.
Yep.
Played with the Henry Paul Band.
Oh, I found his interview that he did with us on the radio, by the way. I don't know if you have it.
I don't think so.
I'll get it for you.
But you talk about making dreams come true. We had Dave come over here, and for one night, Dave and the Groove Monsters played Fort Myers.
Yep, downtown Fort Myers.
And I didn't know if it was going to happen or not, but he invited me to sit in with him.
I remember.
And him and the band were kind of shocked as we started to jam. The band at first was apprehensive, and then I remember seeing Bill Hoffman, the drummer, smile, and he kind of yelled over at the bass player, "Holy blank, he knows what he's doing."
Damn right. Yeah, that's special.
Hey, and that was probably the biggest for me.
Live. Hey, like Rob, you got something that fan. You checked off your bucket list that you got a chance to do?
Sounds dumb, but seeing Springsteen live. Like, I'm a big Springsteen fan.
I want to do that.
That's a regional act.
Yeah, we've been told that's regional act.
It's a lot of political stuff, but in between the songs.
I keep looking. I guess he's going to tour in a couple of years. I want to go see a Springsteen show, although he gets preachy now from what I understand.
It's a lot of political stuff.
Yeah,
in between the songs.
Yeah, I don't like that. I want to go back to, like, say, Springsteen, I don't know, 1982.
Yeah.
Junior. Bucket list that you've checked off.
Well, like
I went and saw a dentist.
I found out that I didn't have mouth cancer.
That's always a plus. Yeah, thanks.
Come on, bucket list.
I gotta get anyways, calls. Like when I was a kid, like I was really fortunate enough to travel to basically all the states in the U.S. There's only a couple I haven't been to, but one place I've always wanted to go to was Yellowstone National Park.
And you got to go.
Yeah, it was amazing.
But as a kid?
As a kid, I want to go. Now that I'm older and I can actually go wander around.
Did you worry about your picnic baskets and Ranger Smith?
Yeah.
No.
Because Yogi and Boo Boo?
Well, there was a couple wild bears, though.
Yeah. People think, you know, Yogi, Boo Boo, now go up and pet them. They'll slash you.
Oh, wait, that's Jellystone Park.
Yes, yep. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is John.
John, what have you checked off your bucket list?
I got to have sex while skydiving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To each his own. You know, I like to be on solid ground.
Yeah, well, guess you gotta, be pretty quick.
Yep. Ground comes up fast.
Yeah.
Speedy Gonzalez right there. Yep. Wonder if she felt the same way. Ahoy. Ahoy.
Ahoy.
Yeah, hi. Who's this?
This is Bill.
Bill, what have you checked off your bucket list?
Well, I've always wanted to have a really nice classic car. And last October, I got the opportunity to get a 65 Corvette convertible.
Oh, man.
Sweet.
Super nice.
And also, this wasn't really a bucket list because I saw them when I was a teenager, but I got to see Lynyrd Skynyrd 5 days before their plane crash.
Oh, wow. Yeah, man. They were in Jacksonville, right? Wasn't that their last stop before?
I don't remember.
Where did you see him at?
I saw him at the Hollywood Sportatorium. It was the very first concert of the Streets of Iris tour. And I think they only did 4 concerts, and they crashed on their way to their 5th.
Yep. Oh, I remember.
Talk about just in time.
Yep. 277-9600. What have you checked off your bucket list? Ahoy, who's this?
Oh, it's Ken.
Okay, what now? What's your
name?
Yeah.
Ken,
how are you?
How you doing?
Good.
I'm good.
Good, buddy. What have you checked off your bucket list?
My wife and I bought our first RV this week.
Oh
that's nice.
That's Haney's dream.
Yeah, what'd you get?
Yeah, we got a Coleman Dutchman Light, 30-foot towable. We picked it up today.
Is that considered a Class C or a Class B plus?
No, a travel trailer, so it's pulled behind the truck.
And where are you going?
We're going to Key Largo tomorrow.
Nice.
Good for you. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Kat.
Hey, Kat, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking. What have you checked off your bucket list?
I got to go skydiving for my 40th birthday.
Okay, did you have sex while skydiving?
No, I did not, but it was absolutely amazing.
All right,
tell
me about it, because, you know, we've had the opportunity in the past to go and, you know, do you want to, and it was like, no way, I'm not doing that. What's the sensation like?
It was absolutely surreal. It's like nothing I've ever done. It was heavenly. I mean, it was so peaceful and so serene but so exhilarating at the same time. Just one of the best things I've ever done in my life.
I guess it would be if you had absolute confidence in your skills and your rig.
Yeah, making sure that chute opens.
That's all. I'd just be worried about the equipment the whole time.
Well, because it was my first jump ever, we did the tandem jump.
Yeah, but so that chute can still fail. That can still fail. He pulls that ripcord for you, and it's like out of the cartoon. Nothing but garbage comes.
Yeah, that's true, but I made it safely to the ground, and,
awesome.
And it was amazing.
Are you going to do it again?
No, I don't think I'm going to do it again. I don't want to push my luck, but I did it once, and it was amazing.
Fantastic.
In that case, that's wonderful.
Yep, good call. Oh, here's a woman from the Absolute, or somebody from the Absolute Law text line. Haney, my grandmother went to high school with Don Shula.
Don Shula is a great man.
Yes, he is.
And he is, he's everything that you think he is.
Yep.
He's a brilliant, principled man.
Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Ahoy.
Yeah, hi, who's this?
Hey, yeah, it's Keith in Naples.
Hey,
how you doing?
Hey, Keith, how are you?
Good.
What have you checked off the bucket list?
Well, after 34 years of marriage, nothing, but my daughter has did me a solid, and I am actually going to go see Celine Dion, and all my brothers have called me a fag.
I can see that.
I can completely understand that.
Yep.
I wouldn't be caught dead at a Celine Dion concert.
I hear she only wears onesies now.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. Jeez. It's Celine Dion. Okay. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Ken. Ahoy.
Hey, Ken. What have you checked off your bucket list?
Well, I had to beat cancer, and I did that. And then
God bless
I made
you.
Sure I, yeah, thank you. And then I made sure I made a trip to Thailand. I always wanted to go, and I went this last February.
You didn't go on one of those junkets, did you?
Oh, no. Okay. I got a buddy I used to work with that lives over there.
Right, and he knew a few names.
You can say, oh, yeah, I've been fortunate enough to travel. And you can say virtually any country.
Yep.
But if you say, I went to Thailand.
Red flag.
Immediately people are going, you perv.
Yep. Yep.
You know, they got beautiful beaches there. That
yeah,
might not
sure
be what went on.
Just
but you're going to be tagged with it.
Just crawling with twinks.
Yep.
277.
Any other country,
yeah,
you can
anything.
Say, I went to Brazil, I went to China, and everybody, oh, that's good for you. But you go, I went to Thailand.
Ah.
Yeah. Solo trip.
Yeah.
Didn't take anybody with me.
I figured it was something I needed to do.
Yeah, beautiful country.
Just have to get it out of the system. 277-9600.
You don't want to tell people you went to Thailand.
No, I don't think. Even if it was a great trip and there was.
Yeah, you don't want to tell
you
people.
You don't want to go and say that, just like you don't want to say you're a grown man going to a Celine Dion concert.
Yep.
You don't want to do it. I'm Aaron Jr. over here, so excited that he got to go see Barry Manilow.
What?
Nothing.
Great piano player.
Great piano player. 277-9600. What have you checked off the bucket list?
I know he was especially excited because Barry was doing some of his old bathhouse material.
Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, Mary Lee, Cape Coral.
Hi, Mary Lee, Cape Coral. Last two digits of your phone number. No, I'm sorry.
Stop.
What have you checked off your bucket list?
I got to do a shot with Keith Richards, and I got to see a rocket take off from Cape Canaveral.
Oh, well, Haney and I...
We've seen a rocket take off from Cape Coral.
But I want to know about Keith Richards. How did you get a chance to...
I lived in Connecticut, near a town where he had a home.
Okay.
Would frequent a local bar, happened to go in, and he was there. Bought him a shot. We did it. Asked him if he wanted another one, and he said, darling, you don't want to tear yourself a new one or something like that.
Oh, jeez. Now, what town in Connecticut was that?
Westport.
Oh, okay. All right, nice.
She can't know what he said.
No.
You can't understand him.
No. Especially, I should have asked her what year, because he gets scarier and scarier. I was looking at I went and saw him in 81, and they were saying the same thing about Keith Richards in 1981. But I looked at the pictures from the concert. Didn't look that bad compared to now.
Well, once you get a baseline of Keith Richards, it's always going to be, oh, he doesn't look that bad.
Yeah. Until you see him.
But if you're seeing him for the first time, it's, oh!
Yeah. We got time for maybe one or two more. One or two more, max. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Rob.
Rob, what have you checked off the bucket list?
Well, I actually got to check it off twice. It was Ricky Medlock. I got to meet him up in Cincinnati when I lived up there when he was with Black Floyd. And then I got to meet him. Actually, it was at the Guns N' Roses concert. He was walking around with Jim Stein.
Yeah.
And I got a picture with him, man. I was like, man, this is awesome. So, and then also I got to meet Artemis Pyle, which was really cool because he's one of the, you know, the original ones too for Kennard. So.
He's going to be coming to town pretty soon. We're going to try to get him in the studio.
Artemis or Ricky?
Artemis. Ricky's been in here. He's played in here.
Ricky's a friend of ours.
We've known Ricky for years and years.
Right, right. That's what I thought. So, yeah. But, yeah, it was just really a privilege to get to meet those guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah.
There's something about them. One more, and then we'll take a break. Ahoy, who's this?
Hello, this is Terry.
Terry, what'd you check off your bucket list, buddy?
Well, I'm just like the other guy. I got two at one shot. Now, they didn't call the bucket list 4 years ago. However, I was a single-A umpire on the East Coast. And my dream was always, I really wanted to umpire a real major league game, you know, with real major league players. So I get a call, I substitute teams at the time, I get a call, they need a third umpire at Ranger Stadium. Well, I didn't realize it was spring season, so I got the call on the Yankees and the Rangers, and my hero was Yogi Berra. So on top of that, he was still managing.
Yeah, so what year was this? His second time managing or his first time?
It was his second, his last. He was on
so in the 80s.
Yes. Just early 80s.
Nice.
Early 80s. 79, 80, 81.
Yeah.
Right.
So, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you, like, legally blind or?
If you'd like to answer our question of the week, ahoy at stanandhaney.com. Ahoy. That's Stan and Haney.
Let's call it both ways.
We're going to take a break. Mark,
come on.
Mark Haney and the news. Let's call it down the middle.
Come on, let's have some chatter.
We'll be back.
Beautiful beaches, world-class golf, and all the five-star amenities you've come to expect from the only radio show you can truly trust with all your financial retirement needs. Okay, that's for Collier. Let's do Lee. We can readily recommend a full-service bail bonds agency with over 50 years of experience. On call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Or we could just go with, thanks for listening, Suncoast Estates. And we didn't forget you, Pine Manor, Essay, or Holmes, whichever you prefer. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Mark Haney in the news coming up. You know, and it just, I hope someday you can find that video you took with me and Bobby Mercer.
We got some time off coming up. I may try and see what I have as far as archives.
The only
I don't know
thing
where half my
that
stuff
I remember,
is.
And it was shortly thereafter.
I was pretty good with the camera at that time.
Well, you had the camera, and I remember you telling me you wanted to sync up the camera with the audio from the show, and then that was the last I heard.
Yeah, well, your road to hell's paved with good intentions.
It sure is.
I'm not doing
it
that.
Sure is. No, I didn't expect you to do it, but you had the bright idea that you could do that.
No, I had to offer. Yeah, like an idiot.
Yeah.
Because I meant to do that, but it ain't going to happen.
If you can find the video, I'd appreciate it. Let me tell you how Stan.
I don't know why I opened my mouth.
Meeting his childhood idol. This is a true story because Bobby was on several times with us before he passed away, unfortunately, at a young age because of brain cancer. But we met him at the celebrity golf tournament. We did a great interview with him.
Mm-hmm.
Got to meet him. Got my picture taken with him. Got to hang out. And then he came back on the air with us shortly before his book came out, his autobiography. And I told him, I said, I didn't want to tell you the first time that we met because I was a little embarrassed about it. I said, a 10-year-old Stan bought a baseball and mailed it to Yankee Stadium in the hopes that you would sign it and mail it back to me, and it never came. And he said, well, we have to correct that, don't we? And probably about 2 or 3 weeks later, in the mail comes an autographed baseball from Bobby and a note that said, Stan, I'm sorry it was late. I hope you enjoy it. And he put his old number, his first number, which was number one. When he came back to the Yankees, he was number two. And in the note, he asked Haney and I, he said, with this book coming out, I'd like you guys to help promote it for me. And can I come down and we can do a book signing?
And we were like, whatever you want, Bobby Mercer.
And he never made it. He passed away before he could make his way down here. And I remember at the time sending him a card and giving condolences to his wife. But I had an opportunity to meet my childhood hero, and that has stuck with me for all these years.
And we were at a golf course, and the two of you sitting there, it was like a field of dreams in real life.
It was. It truly was. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, a couple of things on the board. Both of them, Fort Myers, got a crash. Daniels Parkway and Gateway Boulevard. And this one, Fort Myers, crash, 11,000 block of Majestic Palms Boulevard, right by Rip City. Majestic Palms Boulevard. I don't know if it's majestic or not.
Are there any palms there?
I doubt it. And you are up to date. One more traffic update for you in about 30. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
This is Eyewitness News with Ernie Anastas, Roseanne Scamardella, Warner Wolf, Spencer Christian.
I'm Gary King.
And hey. The Eyewitness News team.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today. Thursday, June 27th.
Double M-X-I-X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you did not know. Mick Jagger likes to procreate.
Yeah, he does.
Mick Jagger, in fact, has a great-grandchild who is older than his youngest child.
What would that make the youngest child to the great-granddaughter?
Well, his great-grandchild was born in 2014, his youngest child born in 2016.
That would be a great-aunt? No. That would be his sister. I don't know what that would make.
No, I think by the time you do the math on it, it ends up he's his own grandpa.
Something like that.
Are there any American cities, Stan, founded by the federal government?
Yes, Washington, D.C.
There is another.
Then I don't know it.
And you'd never get it, neither would I. And unfortunately, it doesn't give me any information on it either. I want to find out why. Perrysburg, Ohio.
That's God's country. What? Where?
What? Only two American cities founded by the federal government, D.C. and Perrysburg, Ohio.
All right.
There's been a lot of talk, especially in the fast food biz lately.
Yep.
What am I laying it on too thick?
No, that's good. And it's an industry. It's big fast food.
And they seem to be all excited I know Burger King has done it with the Impossible Whopper. I know that White Castle has done it using the same company to sell a product that resembles a hamburger,
mm-hmm.
allegedly tastes like a hamburger, but is not, in fact, a hamburger. It's made out of something else, not
ever,
meat.
You ever have those people when you're over at your house and you're having a barbecue and you got the burgers on the grill and there's always somebody that has to throw on a veggie burger?
Yep. You want a not dog?
Yeah. Ruin it for everybody.
Well, last month, in the middle of this frenzy, Arby's issued a press release promising the American public that they would never, ever bring plant-based fake meat to their stores.
Hear, hear.
And then they went to work. There was a meeting held, and they said it's not enough to simply not serve this crap. We've got to fire back in defense of meat. Arby's has just announced in their high-tech test kitchens that they are developing a carrot made entirely of meat. Perfect for those of us who enjoy meat but like to have a vegetable experience.
Now, I'm looking at carrots. Are those the actual meat carrots? Yes, they are.
Now, while it looks like a carrot
to
you,
it does look like a carrot.
It's made out of turkey breast that's cut and rolled into the shape of a carrot, covered in dehydrated orange carrot juice, and roasted in an oven. Then they put a sprig of parsley on it and say, here, have a carrot.
That's horrible.
No, that is brilliant.
No, I don't want to eat a rolled up turkey.
It's not for you.
Who's it for?
It's for the vegans that might come over to your gathering. And
yeah.
You go, for anybody that doesn't like meat, we have some wonderful carrots here for you.
And then you trick them.
Yep. And then you watch Cory Booker gag.
You remember your buddy when I he ate some steak. He was a life from the 60s.
Militant vegetarian.
Militant.
There was no such thing as vegan then. It was only vegetarian. Yeah. And he embraced it to the hilt.
And he lost a bet I made with him. And he had to eat, because I was barbecuing that night.
Because
he had to eat some steak.
Because he only knew uptight conservative Stan.
Mm.
He didn't realize that years ago, a-hole Stan smoked pot like it was going out of style.
Yeah.
And so he made a dare. As Stan's barbecuing, Stan goes, come on, you know you want some. You want some of this steak.
Yeah, I was cutting and the juice was coming out of it and sizzling.
And he says, I'll tell you what, I'll eat a piece of that steak if you take a big hit of pot. And he thought that that would set Stan off. Doesn't bother Stan.
No. So, you know, give me that fatty.
Yeah, and he was shocked.
Yep. I said, now it's your turn.
And then he went ghost white.
Yep.
Got very angry.
Yep.
And was complaining that somehow he'd been tricked.
Yep. No trick. He got sick.
He ate that steak in protest.
Yep.
And became violently ill. I was worried we were going to have to put him on a stretcher.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not the only time he was injured seriously around us.
I know that. And that was the last time we ever saw him when he got injured the other time.
Yeah. Last we saw was the back of his hand with his middle finger.
He was on our, we used him as a character on our TV show.
Mm-hmm.
What was he, the Palm City Madman?
Yeah. Boogie, boogie, boogie.
He was bald-headed, had stringy hair on the side, a gray beard, and he was skinny as a rail. And we made him go shirtless in a pair of shorts and go up to another people in our little play that we're doing, going, boogie, boogie, boogie. And he ran away. And when he ran away, he was on gravel. and his foot slipped. Now, this guy was in his 60s then.
Mm-hmm.
And he slipped on the gravel, went right down, and he had bare legs. And it just scraped him up so bad. He got
he
back
cussed us up.
Up
one side.
He got
down
back
the other.
Up and kept running, flipping us the bird, and we never saw him again.
Yeah, I think it's on film.
Yes, it is, if anybody still has a copy of it. Ran until we couldn't see him anymore, and we never saw him again. That's a true story. And I'd always ask you, because I think his name was Bob.
Yeah.
What happened? Have you talked to Bob lately? Is he all right?
And no.
No, I haven't seen him.
Oh, good guy, though.
Yeah.
Oh, we need to take a break, don't we?
We're oh, yeah.
Strolling down memory
Sorry
lane.
Sorry about that, folks.
One day. One more day, Stan.
Yeah, I know.
In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd. At the Diamond District.
Jason and Todd want to light up your 4th of July and celebrate big this year. Visit the Diamond District in Estero at Coconut Point July 1st through 7th and take advantage of 5 years interest-free financing. That's right, 5 years interest-free financing. If you purchase beautiful 2-carat total weight diamond stud earrings for $6,000, your payment would only be $99 per month and you're paying zero interest. Maybe you'll fall in love with a stunning new diamond ring or bracelet for $2,500. Your payment would be just $42 per month and zero interest. Now is the perfect time to visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. With the largest selection of gorgeous fashion diamond jewelry, more GIA and Forevermark loose certified diamonds than any other jeweler in Southwest Florida, and over 3,000 engagement rings to choose from, all with 5 years interest-free financing July 1st through 7th. You simply won't find a better diamond buying experience than with Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
At the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News on the Stan and Haney Show.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill. Boogie, boogie, boogie.
Yeah, that's what we told him. He goes, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Well, you walk up to these two girls from the woods and go, boogie, 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 and then run off. You're the Palm City Madman.
Yeah, you are a great director.
Yeah. Action!
Back in February, we brought you the story of Mark Anthony Jones of Marion, Indiana. He made news because he accidentally shot himself in the junk. And to add insult to that horrific injury, he was arrested for carrying an unlicensed handgun. Mm-hmm. Let's check in and see how his life has gone since the incident. In the 4 months since he shot himself square in the nuts, he's been arrested 4 more times.
Jeez.
Driving with a suspended license, domestic battery, meth possession, and meth dealing. Yeah, quite the eventful year.
He don't look healthy. He looks a little rough. Looks like he needs some rest.
Yeah.
It's all right, buddy.
He looks like the guy that shows up to bail out Artie Lang.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have a prisoner here in Artemis Lang. I'm here to bail him out.
There is a 50-year-old gent in Southwest India who is a cow smuggler. That's how he makes his living.
Yeah. Is that anything like cattle?
Yeah, well, in cattle India, they call it cow smuggling. We'd call them a cattle rustler.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if this triggers painful memories, Stan, but earlier this month, he's been doing this his whole life, routine. He stole a cow from a farm.
All right.
What he didn't count on, the cow fought back.
Mm-hmm.
And you've warned me about this, that somehow animals seem to just know. The cow kicked the man square in the groin with such force that it killed him on the spot. The trauma to that particular area was so bad, he dropped dead.
Not surprising.
The police are investigating, but they're pretty sure whatever happened was between him and the cow only.
Your cows, your horses, your mules, your donkeys.
Was it a mule or a donkey that got you?
It was a colt. It was a young horse.
Oh, it was a horse. For some reason, I thought it was a mule or a donkey.
No, it was a horse. It was, we were just teaching the foal how to walk on a lead, and we brought him out to where, because we had a clover. Horses love clover. For some reason, it's sweet. And the horse was on a lead. I had it on the lead, and it was eating clover.
He was going along going, I'm looking over a three-leaf clover that I overlook B3.
And a truck was coming down one of the country roads because we lived in, you had to come down the hill, and it was going down pretty fast and threw his air horn.
Oh.
And the horse went up, came back down, and kicked both legs out and caught me. Thank God it didn't catch me square or I would be dead. Caught me right in the area where the leg meets the scrotal area, right in that little pocket in there, and didn't give me a direct hit. You see white. It goes, you go out. And it was probably no more than a split second of white light, like a camera flash, and then I'm on the ground.
And
the only thing I can hear is my old man tell me, get up. Get up.
And according to the few witness reports available, the result of that impact, although you were unconscious immediately after the impact.
Split second.
That your body went back and to the left.
Back and to the left.
Of course, you have no memory of that.
No, but people had an 8mm movie camera. There was,
and if you look closely,
yeah, there, Al Dole was out there, and he was on the stoop of the house adjacent to the barn and the clover field.
And he had the wherewithal
to film this, and he saw the kick, and I immediately went back into the left.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, we're very fortunate that you're here.
Yeah, I'm lucky I'm here, too.
And I know that there are some folks that have really looked into this. We don't know anything at all about a second horse from a different angle.
We don't know anything like that.
And we do know there was a gathering of cows in the meadow.
Yes.
We don't know that they had anything to do with it.
There was a light shadow undistinguishable around the maple trees.
Yep.
Just a shadow. We don't know that it was a cow or another horse.
Yeah, and there was one cow that appeared to be a little bit overweight. Yep. They refer to that as a babushka cow.
Yep. Just look at the film. Just look at the film.
Back and to the left. There is a 29-year-old woman named Chanel Hall.
Hey, Chanel.
She lives in Tampa. Earlier this month, at 3 a.m., she busted into her 26-year-old ex-girlfriend's home.
Oh.
Chanel charged upstairs, grabbed a lava lamp, and hit her ex in the head with the lava lamp.
We got one right in here. It's heavy.
Now, from the reports that we have, she lifted the lava lamp up.
Yeah.
And when she made contact with her ex-girlfriend,
yes,
her head, you can see,
yep,
goes back
and to his left.
Unfortunately, yep. There is no word at all as to why she was so angry at her ex. Now, we have no way of knowing if this had anything to do with fair play for Cuba or
right,
not.
We don't know, but she was handing out pamphlets.
But what we do know is the result of the lava lamp blow,
yep,
back and to the left.
Back and to his left.
Sadly, these lovebirds had, yep, been together for 10 months and abruptly broke up. And then the lava lamp thing,
yep,
happened.
Yep.
Chanel was arrested on Monday for what they call felony burglary with aggravated battery or assault.
Take a look at her. She'll kill you. She will kill you. That is a mean woman right there. That's got evil in her eyes.
Well, the 26-year-old ex-girlfriend did survive.
Yes.
But again, if you follow the injuries, you, yeah, can tell the lava lamp injury resulted in her head, yep, going
back and to his left.
Yep, it's right there.
Undeniable.
Undeniable.
And that's the news for today, Thursday, June 27th.
Double M-X-I-X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mikey Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. We'll take a break. We'll,
hey,
be right back. Yes, yeah, well, yeah.
Stan, have you seen my keys?
Oh, the back?
Back and to his left.
Right, oh, they, thank
they,
you.
There they are.
There they are.
96 K-Rock.
I'm sure Stan and Haney have a really funny joke coming up, right, guys? Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for spending your afternoon with us. Rob Show coming up at 6 o'clock. He's going to take you into your evening. Got time to get you updated one more time on traffic for your drive home.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, let's see. Two in Fort Myers showing up on the board. A crash, Daniels Parkway and International Drive. The other one, Fort Myers, University Drive and College Parkway. And we got a hit and run, Lehigh Acres, the 300 block of Leland Heights Boulevard West. And you are up to date.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
And the dryer buzzer. Why is a dryer buzzer the most horrific noise on the planet? I had a heart attack doing my laundry yesterday. What? Is it that important that we know that our clothes are dry? Is that like a life issue? It's like the loudest noise I've ever heard in my life. My smoke detector's really nice about it, you know? It's like beep, 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 beep. There's a fire. Beep, 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 beep. Might want to head out. Whenever you want. Carbon monoxide detector. Poisonous gas detected. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. Gonna be dead in about 5 minutes. Beep, 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 beep. Dryer buzzer. Your clothes are dry. Ah! Ah! Your clothes are Get your clothes out of the dryer, ass. Ah! Ah! You're losing lint as we speak. That's it, I'm taking a sock.
Have yourselves a great evening, Lord willing. We're back here tomorrow, 2 o'clock, big Friday show. We'll do it all over again. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock. We leave you this afternoon with this. It's Thursday, so that means our question of the week. We'll post to you our question of the week. Pick up the phone and call in. and you can answer our question of the week. You have the right answer. It's your answer. No yes or no's with us. We asked a question probably a couple of years ago. What's on your bucket list? And we'll kind of rephrase it now, a couple of years later. Our question of the week. What have you checked off your bucket list? Everybody's got something that they, man, I hope to do that before I die. I hope to be able to do that before I have to, whatever. What have you checked off your bucket list? 277-9600. I'll release the phones. Rob, make sure that they want to answer the question of the week. What have you checked off your bucket list?
That's a good one.
277-9600. Ahoy.
Ahoy.
Yeah, hi. Who's this?
Hey. Yeah, it's Keith in Naples. Hey. How you doing?
Hey, Keith. How are you?
Good.
What have you checked off the bucket list?
Well, after 34 years of marriage, nothing, but my daughter has did me a solid, and I am actually going to go see Celine Dion, and all my brothers have called me a fag.
I can see that.
I can completely understand that.
Yep.
I wouldn't be caught dead at a Celine Dion concert.
I hear she only wears onesies now.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez. It's Celine Dion. Okay. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Ken. Ahoy.
Hey, Ken. What have you checked off your bucket list?
Well, I had to beat cancer, and I did that. And then
God bless
I made
you.
Sure I, yeah, thank you. And then I made sure I made a trip to Thailand. I always wanted to go, and I went this last February.
You didn't go on one of those junkets, did you?
Oh, no, no, no. Okay. I got a buddy I used to work with that lives over there.
Right, and so he, he knew a few names. 277-9600.
You know what? You can say, oh, yeah, I've been fortunate enough to travel. And you can say virtually any country.
Yep.
But if you say, I went to Thailand.
Red flag.
Immediately people are going, you perv.
Yep. Yep.
You know, they got beautiful beaches there. That might not
sure
be what went on.
Just
but you're going to be tagged with it.
Just crawling with twinks.
Yep.
277.
Any other country, you can
anything.
Say, I went to Brazil, I went to China, and everybody, oh, that's good for you. But you go, I went to Thailand.
Ah.
Yeah. Solo trip.
Yeah.
Didn't take anybody with me.
I figured it was something I needed to do.
Yeah, beautiful country.
Just had to get it out of the system. 277-9600.
You don't want to tell people you went to Thailand.
No, I don't think. Don't think you. I mean, even if it was a great trip and there was.
Yeah, you don't want to tell
you
people.
You don't want to go and say that. Just like you don't want to say you're a grown man going to a Celine Dion concert.
Yep.
You don't want to do it. I'm Aaron Jr. over here, so excited that he got to go see Barry Manilow.
What?
Nothing.
Great
nothing
piano player.
Great piano player. 277-9600. What have you checked off the bucket list?
I know he was especially excited because Barry was doing some of his old bathhouse material.
Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
Hello, this is Terry.
Terry? What'd you check off your bucket list, buddy?
Well, I'm just like the other guy. I got two at one shot. Now, they didn't call the bucket list 40 years ago. However, I was a single-A umpire on the East Coast. And my dream was always I really wanted to umpire a real major league game, you know, with real major league players. So I get a call. I was substitute teams at the time. I get a call. They need a third umpire at Ranger Stadium. Well, I didn't realize it was spring season. So I got the call on the Yankees and the Rangers. And my hero was Yogi Berra. So on top of that, he was still managing.
Yeah. So what year was it? Was this his second time managing or his first time?
It was his second, his last. He was on
so
his
in the
out.
80s.
Yes. Just early 80s. Early 80s. 79, 80, 81.
Yeah.
Right.
So, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you, like, legally blind or?
If you'd like to answer our question of the week, ahoy at stanandhaney.com. Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Let's call it both ways.
We're going to take a break.
Come on.
Mark Haney and the news. Let's call it down the middle.
Come on, let's have some chatter.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.